Hey, everybody, welcome back to the Blister Podcast on the Blister Podcast Network. I'm Jonathan Ellsworth, and you can check out everything we're doing and reviewing over at blisterreview.com. Today, we've got Mountain Gazette owner Mike Rogge back on the podcast, apparently just to talk a whole bunch of crap to each other. But no, not just that. We also discuss media eclipse coverage. That's a fun one. We talk about some of the things we've been reading and watching. And we also talk about the last big issue of Mountain Gazette. That was number 200. And we talk a little bit about what we all can expect out of the new issue of Mountain Gazette. That is number 201. And that will be coming out soon. And folks, at least here in Colorado, we have officially entered multi-sport season. So I am currently both ski touring and mountain biking, which is freaking awesome. Here's to nice warm temps and nice long days with lots of light. I love this time of year. But let's keep it real here. Multiple sports means that we are increasing the ways in which injuries can sneak up on us. Often when we least expect it. That's usually true of me. And so I want to remind you about our Blister Plus membership and its accompanying injury coverage. Last time I personally used my Blister Plus coverage was my very last mountain bike ride of 2023 when I fractured my arm. And thanks to Blister Plus, I was 100% covered for the multiple x-rays I ended up having to get on that arm, and then the multiple physical therapy sessions that I also got, thanks to that crash. With Blister Plus, you get 12 months of up to $25,000 worth of medical bill coverage, and that is per incident. So if you sign up today and then get hurt mountain biking this spring or summer, you have up to $25,000 worth of coverage for that incident. Then, if you get hurt this coming fall or winter, let's say you're skiing or snowboarding, anytime while your 12 months of coverage is still current, well, then you get up to another $25,000 of coverage for that accident. You see how this works, folks? Plus, you get a bunch of additional benefits with your Blister Plus membership. You get our personalized gear recommendations from Blister reviewers. You get great discounts on gear and the Blister Summit, and that's just naming a few of the additional benefits. And you get all of this for $395 for 12 months of coverage and benefits. So if you are a Blister reader or a Blister podcast listener, you probably need this, and you at least need to check it out to see if it would make sense for you. So you can do that on our website. Just check out the navigation bar on our site, and we will also include a link in the show notes of this episode. So check that out. And now, it's time to fight with Mountain Gazette owner Mike Rogge. Here we go. All right. I am back with Mike Rogge, my something of a ski friend nemesis. We probably should start this conversation by coming clean about our behind-the-scenes fight about who of us skis more.
Yeah, so let's just start. I went into our Instagram messages, right? Because I want to like do the. I want to timestamp this. Let's start with January 30th. This is a story that has since expired. It's just a middle finger emoji from Jonathan. 2 days later, I did not respond. Just in parentheses from you. Just kidding. And then I sent a thumbs up back. And then you said, go and ski in now here in Colorado. And I just was like, screw it. And I wrote back to you on March 4th, I ski way more than you. And that set off DM no. fingers, like you wouldn't believe. We have never talked this much ever. Ha, huh, no, you don't. So much more. Your ski area closes in like a month and you never backcountry ski. And you go, I backcountry ski when the lifts close and Colorado backcountries, that's like gonna kill you. I'm like, that's entirely untrue. And then we're like, we're trying to stat each other, like more Abbey deaths than COC and when it's more stable. And then we just like literally stopped messaging each other for a month. We were just like, I don't know what you've been doing the last month, but I've been skiing so much. I've been skiing like crazy because you were like the little devil on my shoulder being like, I ski more than you. And I was like, fuck you, little Jonathan. And I like,
No, well, to be honest, I was skiing a lot. I really wasn't even thinking about you. I was nothing new. But I mean, it is always like a bit of panic around here. And like, yes, it is unfortunate. Our chairlifts turned off on Sunday, April 8th. And so our whole team is like trying to get in as much time, as many days, you know, for the last, you know, 30 days of the season, because that sort of goes away. And then, yeah, we can get to other places, but it just, everything gets a little more complicated. And so that's why you were skiing because you're like, I don't want to lose this battle to Ellsworth. I was skiing, Mike, because I need to get information out to the good people, our fellow skiers. That was my motivation.
I think that I have 25, 35 more ski days of chairlift service here in North Lake Tahoe. I mean, I know that Palisades saying they're closing the last weekend of May. Mammoth might go.
They announced?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mammoth might go into June. And then, you know, I mean, that's when the Sierras start going off. You know, the Eastern Sierra is really fun. You can go down there and do a little touring. But I mean, we have a decent enough snowpack. Like, I think I'll be able to tour on Mount Rose, a little West Shore. I mean, we literally have a line here called 4th of July shoots because it goes until then. So I will be sure for everyone listening out there to, I do not like Instagram my skiing, but I'll be sure to Instagram these stories and tag Jonathan in every single one asking, are you skiing? And I will just write every day, are you skiing today? And if it sounds like I am like the 8-year-old in the 5-year-old t-ball thing running the score up, I am.
That's right. I respect that. And if I may counter, you only get like 30 more minutes in this conversation because I'm going ski touring after this. So I'm literally going to cut this conversation shorter than it probably otherwise would have.
It's
because
okay.
Because I ski more than you.
It's okay. I've already been skiing today, but I'm glad you're going to get some too. So I was up at Sugar Bowl today.
You really?
Yeah. I've been to Sugar Bowl in a while. A good buddy of mine is running a new series we should talk about in the future called Jib League. And went up, got to hang out with Jossie Wells and his brothers, and we're going to go up and have dinner tonight. But yeah, just went up and did some quick 3 hours of like high-speed groomer lapping. Sugar Bowl gets a ton of sun, so it gets mushy pretty fast. And so that is the downfall of California skiing, is we get so much sunshine, you just get a really nice tan, and you're done skiing after like 2 hours. So definitely got to time the corn cycle properly, but...
Nothing wrong with slush groomers though.
No, nothing wrong with slush groomers. Yeah.
But when you hit a certain depth of slush, that's when you're like, cool, I might actually just auger my downhill ski, and just watch it submarine and watch my knee go with it. And so, okay.
I joke that like, I like mashed potatoes, like just enough, like not too much. Not that much.
That's fair.
And then what I love is there's people that don't like that phrase. So we've coined a phrase like hot pow, you know, and you're like, ish.
Who doesn't like the phrase mashed potatoes?
I don't know. Like, who knows? It's California, okay. Man. Is it like fair trade? Is it organic? Like, we don't really know. How is that potato grown? And I got news for you. It's grown in the ground, in the dirt.
Fair trade slush.
Yeah. No, it's good. And the skiing's good here. What I like is that all the steep stuff gets pretty bumped out. And this is where, like, I think California skiing just shines. You get this, like, awesome classic mogul skiing vibe. And, like, people aren't doing it because it's, like, kitschy. They're doing it because, like, it's good skiing. It's super fun. And so shoot 75 off KT22. That's my plan tomorrow morning.
Do you know that I've never skied in California?
That's crazy.
Not one time. I've skied in Japan and New Zealand and Argentina and Iceland, never California. You want to know why?
Because Cody and I are just your internet friends. Because I've been to CB a couple times, and I love Crested Butte. I'm a big fan
That's because it's awesome.
It is awesome.
I want to come out. I want to come out. Listen, before you say anything, Cody is already talking about like the world's best tree run zone. And so like, I need to go check that out with him. But then I do really want to get to Palisades. And I've talked to Tyler Curl about this. And if I did come out, I suppose I'd have to go skiing with you a little bit. Or like I break your bindings and then you can't ski for the day. And then I go get one more day on you.
I mean, I guess the thing is, though, is that I buy bindings based off of the 25,000 word reviews I get on Blister. So good luck. Breaking my bindings, yeah. Dude.
It's a great point. Anyway, so that I do need to ski in California, and I don't know if that will happen this spring/summer, but it would be fun to make that happen. Yeah, so
I'd love to have you.
My list just grows. Like the world stays the same size, my list gets longer. So I'm working.
I know we have a quick pod. We'll talk about this later. I'm gonna go skiing indoors in New Jersey this summer. I'm very excited about that. I'm gonna go to Big Snow and check that out at the Meadowlands.
I think that's cool. Gonna be fun. That's cool. Yeah.
So shall we with our podcast?
Yeah. I mean, are we going to, maybe this one last thing before we really get into it, but you hate media eclipse coverage. This is a thing I've learned about you. I saw your posting and ranting on the internet, and I was like, Mike, pick your battles. What are you doing here? Like, so do you want to, I'll give you the floor for at least a minute or two. What is your beef with media eclipse coverage?
I have no beef. I think the most exciting part of media eclipse coverage is in like the 5 to 10 days before the eclipse actually happens. You're getting a lot of good information why eclipse happened. They've got all their graphics. They're talking to scientists. Neil deGrasse is everywhere. Like, it's just really awesome. They're showing like Star Wars stuff. Like, everyone's getting their jokes out. And then, I mean, look, I have tons of friends and family in the Northeast that got to experience this, some friends that went to Texas to experience, some friends that were in Mexico, and they loved it. It was awesome. My thing is that we got 13 very intricate pitches for Mountain Gazette, and I was like, hey, I am very, and I genuinely meant this, I'm very much looking forward to watching your photos come across my Instagram feed. That's going to be awesome. But what I don't want is to put them in our magazine. Because by the time our magazine comes out in May, the second after that eclipse is over, it's the most boring thing in the world. It's yesterday. I think what's cool is that collectively, humanity, if you were in that thing, you were looking up. You know, I was, you know, no surprise given our first conversation, I was skiing during the eclipse and I went to the bottom and I let my dog out of the van and didn't know why everyone was looking up at the sky. I was like, oh, that's right. And those ladies like, I have glasses. I was like, thanks. And I looked up and I go, there it is. Cool. What a special moment in the universe. Here we are in Iraq, and we moved on. And yeah.
Do you also hate Christmas?
Love Christmas. As a father of two boys, love Christmas. Think it's fantastic. But I also think that just like December 26th and 27th, Christmas is not irrelevant those days. So Christmas is the best. I think December 1st through the 24th. 25th is like a sick day. It goes by really fast.
And I guess to your point, if I was going to try to help you out here and make people, you know, not think that you're a total curmudgeon,
yeah, okay,
someone they probably don't want to hang out with ever. Yeah. It's like, we don't really write about Christmas in May.
No.
Like, so in Mountain Gazette, a May edition, you're not going to get a story about Christmas.
No, I don't think so. I'm trying. Yeah. It's going to bother me the rest of the day. How could I make that happen?
So anyway, what we've learned is we enjoy fights about our ski days, which, by the way, I don't record my number of ski days, for the record. I get asked that a lot.
Yeah.
So like, I don't, but you're the only person I've ever been like competitive with now about who actually skis more.
Yeah.
And so there's that. And then you hate sublime galactic events. These are the two things we've learned about.
No, I think those
so
things
far.
Are awesome. I think they're really okay. Cool. I think that the self-congratulations of taking a photo that literally everyone else took too is just not that great, man. To me. But good for you guys. You did it. You did it. You set up a flash and like got a cool thing. I'm very excited. And I mean, it hurt. Like a couple of our photographers reached out and were just like, you're an asshole. And I was like, I know that. But it's an unpopular opinion I have.
That's good. I think this conversation is going really well for me.
Yeah, I think I've lost a ton of subscribers, and we're going to be sending a lot less of the May issue than we expect.
Well, before we get to the May issue, talk to me a little bit about the last issue, right? This was issue number 200. I know, actually, we were actually fighting about that one as well, right? Who puts out the bigger publication, our Winter Buyer's Guide versus your issue number 200?
Yeah. If you're wondering, like, why, what is this fight? Is this a friendly rivalry? It's that we're brats.
Oh.
I think you and I are brats, and I like that. But we're only bratty to each other, and I think it's just because we can relate to each other so much. Mm-hmm. We've talked about this a lot in the pod, but yeah, you know, last issue was issue 200. You know, Gazette was started in 1966, and so I felt a lot of internal pressure, put pressure on myself to capture the essence of the different eras of the magazine and not so much celebrate Mountain Gazette, but try to match the vibe of the 60s and 70s versions and the 2000s versions and our own, you know, iteration. And I think we accomplished that. As I've told you, you know, offline, the magazine is the first one due to like an insane overwhelming demand. We're talking not hundreds of people, but actually thousands of people asking to get it. We reprinted. And I thought, this is a flash in the pan. We'll end up with some extra issues. We'll be okay. And we sold out of that extra run in 10 days. And people asked me to reprint again. And I didn't have it in me. I was just like, we could certainly financially afford it. But I was just like, I think that if we oversaturate the market with this, it's just not going to be that great. And so I was really pleased at the reception of it. But for 201, it was nice because we got back to just making an issue of Mountain Gazette like we always do, which is like finding things that inform us, you know, make us laugh, inspire us. They're aspirational pieces, you know, they've got an emotional bent to them. And yeah, we're sitting in a really different place. We've 5x'd the size of the magazine in exactly 1 year from where we were last year. And we're not changing how we do things. Like, we have invested in more customer service, but we're going to keep being our version of Mountain Gazette. And we really do say in my, you know, intro to the next issue is basically like, if you like this magazine, that's awesome. And if you don't like it, like, please let us know what you don't like, but also know that if you like hate it, that's fine. Cancel your subscription. Like, we're not changing for you. Like, this is, more people like it than don't like it. And so, and in this growth, what's crazy is we're finding that we have a 99% auto renew rate still. So that hasn't changed. And so we're seeing, you know, good growth still. And I think the pressure of the 200 number is off. And now we get to make, I mean, I'd have to live another 50 years to get to the 300. I sure hope I'm in my 80s, but I don't know if I want to be making Mountain Gazette. I'll still be talking to you about ski days. But yeah, 200 is finally put to bed, and we're really looking forward to showing everyone our new cover and, like, you know, moving on from that cool moment in our history and starting fresh.
I do think that is worth sort of pausing on and, you know, commenting on and celebrating, like, hey, we've seen 5x growth and we didn't change. And, you know, let's talk about it. That's not how a lot of media operates, right? A lot of media is out there conducting poll after poll and trying to figure out the algorithms of, like, what's going to be popular, what's going to hit, what's going to drive that SEO. And if you're in this business, I mean, you're nodding because, like, you're like, yeah, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And that is, like, man, if you're not it's that old phrase, like, if you're not actually about something and you're just out there chasing, like, I guess we're going to see what, you know, a bunch of eyeballs want to look at this particular month, and then that will be irrelevant and we don't really care about it, but then we'll just be on the chase for what people want to check out next month. Well, one, I know we both think that's just a horrible long-term strategy. It's also, it is truly kind of soulless. You know, I think to see that growth you guys have had while not changing, and it's like, look, if you're into it, check it out. If you're not, that's cool. We can, you know, we can still be friends. I like that.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, we always say when people like comment on our Instagram ads or something, something like negative, we don't delete those comments all the time. Sometimes we keep them up and we say, hey, we get it. Like, you came here, you were looking for something. We're not the thing you were looking for. And then we always leave with this: enjoy the rest of your day on the internet. Like, it's okay. You were driving by, you know. I think for us, I mean, the only thing we've really changed in the last year is that I've invested more into customer service, mostly because we are so much bigger, we don't want the quality of that to go down. And so it's not that we have more customer service inquiries because we're screwing up. We have the exact same like percentage amount. It's just, obviously we've grown, so that's grown too. And we want to be able to talk to people, find out what they're looking for. How do I change my address? Like, pretty simple magazine stuff. And then as far as like our editorial, like, dude, we're sticking with we cover what happens when you walk out your front door, whether that is in, you know, a city or some foreign country or a ski town like you or I live in, you know. And I think what's cool about our next issue is we showed it to one of our contributors that has a feature in it, and we did not show him, you know, his completed feature, but he saw the rest of the magazine. He's like, dude, how did you do this? This is the best issue we've ever done. And he's been in a few issues. And I don't know. I think it's the best issue we've ever done, because our kind of way of making magazines is we just want it to be a little better than the last one and be a little different. And so we're just not trying to repeat the same stuff. So, yeah, I don't know. We're really proud of where we're hanging. Like, our, you know, staff is really happy with our growth, and, you know, they've been compensated better because of that. And like, I'm trying to invest all of our newfound success, like, back into the people that helped us get here. And whether that's contributors or contractors or, you know, customer service, our tech, you know, we're like looking at like, okay, what are some friction points in our current tech and how can we smooth those out a little bit? Not big changes, but subtle stuff. And yeah, that's about it, man.
Well, as a paying subscriber to Mountain Gazette, one change that I would like to see is, I see this quote on your homepage by me,
yes,
which I didn't know you were going to do, and it's been up there a long time. I want that to be changed to, I ski more than Mike Rogge.
We're not going to do that. I don't think. I don't think that's an accurate quote. We'll have to fact check that. I'm going to call.
Send Ari out.
I'm going to send Ari Schneider after you. He's going to call like Crested Butte, and like, he's going to look up your tax return, and like, he's going to find out, and he'll be like, oh, you know, when he said he was in Santa Fe, he was actually in Phoenix. And we're going to, yeah, we'll find out. But no, I mean, that quote means a lot. I mean, we've talked about this a lot, about how there are a lot of people out there that only buy their gear after you and your team have written about it. And you gave an honest review of us, is that you thought it was something you thought you could ignore, and you don't feel that way anymore. And you've been really great about giving me in particular honest feedback. And I think you're our, not just because of the review or the, you know, influence and power you have in your, you know, media company, but you're a lot like most of our Mountain Gazette subscribers, and that like, they are smart enough to know that 100% of the magazine isn't going to, you know, give them one dopamine hit. It's like, some things are going to make you smile. Some things are going to make you maybe a little confused, or maybe ask for the questions, or you're going to laugh, or you're going to be like, oh damn, that's like really deep and heavy. Or it's just, we're going to give you a full emotional experience with the mag. And I think what I like is like, I love the people that are like, that story made me sad. And I'm like, yes, it's a tragic story. And we felt it was a good mix. There's also photos of dogs eating treats in here too, that will make you happy. Like, you know, full thing. Like we're not supposed to just, we're not chicken soup for the outdoor soul. So, but yeah.
Have you used that? That's a good ad. That if you've maybe already run that. Mountain Gazette, we are not chicken soup for the outdoor soul.
Yeah, we have run this magazine's not for everyone, and I love the people that are just like on the internet so hyper stressed, and they're just like, well, all caps, well, who is it for then?
Like, okay. I don't know.
It's for our readers. It's for people that see bullshit coming from a mile away.
Should we talk about a couple of pieces in the new issue?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Be happy to.
By the way, again, I am a paying subscriber. I also bring you on this podcast where we talk about media and we, you know, fight with each other. But then we're supposed to talk about a bit the next issue. You won't actually show it to me.
No.
And so I'm
like,
do
you know why? Because I respect, like, you've seen one feature, new format for us, which is really cool, photo essay. And then you saw a new column that we are going to keep trying. And I think it came out great, this one. And we're just going to give this, like, we create a new space for some new voices in the magazine. But the reason why is that you are a paying Mountain Gazette subscriber. And I think part of being a Mountain Gazette subscriber is us not giving it away. Like, you get it, and like, you get to have whatever your experience is when you go to your post office, whatever. Like, some people read it in their car right away. Some people like wait until the weekend when they can like unwind and chill. And I think whatever that ritual is for reading the magazine, like, I certainly don't want to be the one that ruins it. So that's it. I like, truly, it's true. And I will say, this is a little how the sausage is made. Everyone's listening. Jonathan, three pods in a row, gets, you don't want to say you get pissed. You're just super annoyed. You understand. You get it conceptually, but you're also like, how are we supposed to talk about a thing that I have not seen? And yeah. Every time I play super coy, like, dude, I don't know. Like, we sent you two things. Like, what's like, so this is
anyway.
Yeah, it's great.
Well, again, we have, because I got to go ski soon. So let's do this. I think we do talk about the new feature. You gave it a bit of an introduction, but do you want to say a bit more about that?
Sure. So in the 70s, Mountain Gazette had a section called Mountain Notebook. You could kind of call it almost like what a blog is today. And I did not think we needed like a news rundown in a biannual magazine. So what we turned Mountain Notebook into is it's going to be a space, 600 words, 850 words or so, one page in the back of the magazine. After contributors, after poetry, before Jaded Local. And what it is we want to hear the voices of like either recent history or current happenings in mountain towns and people's experiences. It's not a soapbox by anything. Like, I fully expect it to be funny, to be thoughtful, to be crass, to be a little like something that might turn you off a little bit, but I did think what's cool is it shows that I think that our readers have their finger on the pulse. They are the pulse of what's happening in mountain communities and happening in the outdoor world. And so we're trying to give those people a space, you know, to chat. And so this first one we gave to Katie Burrell. And I think everyone's probably like, oh, great. It's a comedy piece, you know, and you got to read it. It's not actually, parts of it, I guess you could think are funny depending on your sense of humor. But it's called Confessions of a Former Heli Ski Bartender. And it's Katie's experience over a couple seasons bartending at a sought after heli ski lodge. And the type of, I guess you'd say, customers she got to experience. And sort of like, it's one of those things where like, if you have like a interesting, crappy day, and then like at the end of the day, you look back and you go, I guess I'm glad I went through that. I'm a better person for it now. I think that was Katie's idea with it. But, you know, I am incredibly impressed with Katie Burrell's career. I think that whether or not people liked Weak Layers or not is besides the point. I mean, I'm pretty sure that film made money, which your first film out in a Hollywood production, like most films lose money. And I think her writing is super sharp. It's very good. And
I think that she's built a career on, you know, Instagram making fun of tropes, but I think that she's got a lot more depth than that as well. And I think part of what makes her humor pretty good is that it's biting. And this piece, I think you can agree, it's got a bite to it. And it's something I'm just like super stoked. I had to call her when she sent it to me. And I kept saying, Katie, this is so good. Katie, this is so good. And she like is always a little self-deprecating, but I'm proud that she's starting to like have a little more, you know, in our, my limited interaction, she has a little more confidence herself. I mean, Weak Layers was a success. Totally. And so we're happy that she's going to be part of our crew going forward. And that doesn't mean that this is going to be her column going forward, but basically like she has an open door to do what she wants at Mountain Gazette, because I think that she's got talent beyond what we've all seen. So it was an awesome piece to work on with her.
Yeah. And I think to in a sense, not spoil the piece for people. Like, I don't think we need to do that. Let people go read it. But one of the things that I think that when a person reads the piece, lest a person think, okay, I am just hearing about what it is like to operate in a, let's say, relatively exclusive or extremely exclusive, you know, ecosystem of a heli lodge. What I found myself thinking about is like, this actually is relevant for how we all conduct ourselves when any of us goes to visit a mountain town, really any town, you know, where we don't live in. We're stepping out and we're stepping out into, you know, a place where we go to recreate, right? And sometimes that means we go to party, we go to get away from it. And I think that if people approach Katie's piece remembering that, right, as opposed to just being like, oh, I've never been to a heli lodge, or I would never act like that, or like, it's like, just hang on. Because you know, and I know, that this is something that those of us who live in small places where people do come to recreate, there still are those real dynamics of, you know, Cody and I have talked about this quite a bit on some Reviewing the News episodes, but how do you come in and be a good visitor, right? I do think that, you know, something like rules of etiquette are things that we do need to be mindful, not just when it comes to like backcountry ethics, but also like, what are you acting like when you roll into a town where you don't live?
Yeah. And I think the other thing too, is like the second you start talking about ethics and like ski and snowboard culture, people are like, oh, you're taking it too seriously. But it's not about that. It's like, dude, you can go anywhere. And like, if you act like a jerk, like, I don't understand how people haven't made the connection that you're going to have, the worse you are to people, the worse service and like help you're going to get from people. Like, I think it comes down to this general belief of like, you know, I believe that people are generally good. And I think that if you appeal to their best nature, like you'll usually be all right. Some people are just kind of straight assholes, as Katie's piece points out. But I think, you know, it was fair that she had a little bit of fun playing with them a little bit. But yeah, I don't know. I just hope that, I mean, dude, skiing and snowboarding is exponentially more expensive than golf and tennis. Yet has, like, golf and tennis are probably too uptight. And I kind of wish skiing, not that it, like, it's just like, I don't know. My thing that chaps me right now is like beginner skiers coming up that are in their 20s and 30s and get hammered and then get on the lift on a Saturday afternoon. And where are they? They're on blue square runs where like 5 and 6 year olds are skiing, and they're skiing 80 miles an hour. And like, to them, it's like, just whatever, I'm just doing this. And like, but dude, like that's something I'm like super worried about as a father. And I never thought I would worry about that ever. I was like, no, that's just like a small thing. It's like way more prevalent. I think the idea of like going to the mountains and getting like blackout drunk on hill, like off hill, whatever, dude, I don't care. Like, do your thing. Like, but on hill is like really nuts to me. And so, yeah. But, you know, what I like about Katie's piece is it's like that classic thing. It's like fun, it's biting, it's honest. It's classic, like good Mountain Gazette piece.
Let's talk about the only other piece you let me actually see.
Yeah. So Chris Bennett, who's a photographer out of Maine, had shared this idea with me a couple years ago, actually. And he continued shooting it. And basically, Chris set up just before people got to the summit of Mount Katahdin, which is the end of the Appalachian Trail, and asked a question: why did you hike the Appalachian Trail? And I think there's like some lore of like, obviously Everest, like because it's there or whatever. Like, I think that's a nice oversimplified answer. But as you read in the piece, like we were talking earlier, the shaking of an Etch-a-Sketch, the idea of like, I wanted to reset my life. I wanted to, and some it's like bad breakups or like a parent passing away or something more tragic or something actually just, you know, I loved the woman who was like, I grew up at the beginning of the Appalachian Trail, like at a park, and used to go there all the time to like play. And I always just wondered where it went. And I think I really enjoy, I know that like there's so many like personal bests and the stratification of like outdoor and stuff. I still like the idea that sometimes people walk out their front door for tens of thousands of reasons and not just to do a personal best, that, and not just for like health purposes or mental health purposes. Like sometimes it is just to be like, I don't know, I'm going to take one step at a time, 5 million of them, and see what happens. So what was your thought on that piece? Cause it's a new format for us where we're doing photo essays. So full bleed photos on the top, and the bottom section has like a short 200-300 word essay.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I don't spend a lot of time thinking about the Appalachian Trail, and it was cool to see the recurring theme of, hey, I needed a reset in my life. Or as I told you when I came on, and I'm almost kind of embarrassed, like, do other people know this expression? And I'd never heard it, the like shaking of the Etch-a-Sketch.
That was the first time I'd ever read it too. I loved it.
It's amazing. Like, it's amazing. I read that and I'm like, that's a great freaking analogy for when life is too much, or you are burned out, or, you know, something or other. And I really, really, really liked that. And I think that's going to stick with me now. But I think that, yeah, I mean, this goes back to the whole point, right? Like, I don't really care about the Appalachian Trail. I don't seek out essays to read about it. I've done some podcasts about some of the rock stars who have done very incredibly impressive things on the AT. But that's, again, like, you sent me that, and now I'm reading about the Appalachian Trail and reading about these different people's stories and the rest, and now have for the rest of my life this notion of shaking the Etch-a-Sketch, right, when things feel rutted. And so maybe I just leave it at that when you say, what did I think of the piece, you know?
Yeah, I feel like it's something that we might continue in the future, of asking people who are doing these quote unquote big accomplishments in the outdoor space, why did you do this? Because I do think, like, you know, why do people summit Mount Whitney, you know, here in California? You know, why do people do any of this stuff? And I find that you typically get an answer that's like a little too simplified of like, I don't know, I just wanted to, bro, you know, or whatever. Or you get like, Cheryl Strayed Wild. But I really enjoyed some of those answers are pretty middle, what I'd call middle of the road. They feel super human to me, like a very human desire to do something that's not innate, you know, like it's not obsessive. I was really surprised by it. I mean, Chris, I think, sent us like 20 or 30 of those, and a lot of people just were like, I wanted to have a story when I was older, you know, or, you know, there's certainly dead end jobs or bad breakups or whatever, but I just found that like, it was a really, and actually I feel like, you know, my parents are super healthy and stuff, but like a lot of the people that were like, I did after my mom died, right, I was like, what a great, like, not even tribute, but like a great period to that point of your life. Like, I've had a parent my whole life. My parent passed away. I went and I grieved appropriately in whatever way was appropriate for me and my family, and I helped my family, whatever. And then I did something for myself to shake that Etch-a-Sketch, right? And start a new chapter. I found that to be really cool. And it's why we're opening the magazine with that piece, because I was just like, this is thematic throughout the whole issue of people just having totally different motivation, like so many different motivations, not three or four, like hundreds, thousands of motivations for doing things outdoors. And I found them all to be really valid. And I think it's something that's going to change how we do Mountain Gazette, in a sense of just like, not just that people go out their front door, but why they go out their front door, like what it is. And I just, again, I think that's relatable. So I'm enjoying that piece.
All right. Our time is limited because I don't know if you heard, but I got to go skiing.
I already went skiing today, but yeah, you let's talk about it.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We should talk a little bit about what we're reading and watching. I know this is usually a reviewing the news thing, but you read some stuff. So I wanted to ask you.
I do. And I am, we've talked about this a little bit. I signed with a book agent in January and I'm actually embarking on writing my first book. I'll certainly tell you guys about it as like I develop it more. I'd hate to tell you what it's about only to change direction in three to 4 months when I'm like, this is terrible. I'm so embarrassed that I told Blister about it. But I've been reading a lot more, trying to understand sort of what's out in the world right now, what I enjoy personally, what's commercially successful. I'm not trying to write a book just for the sake of it. I'm motivated to like write something that's good and is widely read. I just finished Not the End of the World by Hannah Ritchie. The full title is Not the End of the World, How We Can Be the First Generation to Build a Sustainable Planet. And I found that like, maybe it's just because of the communities I'm tapped into, that like there's so much doom and gloom around climate change and like fatalism. I wasn't looking for like, again, a chicken soup book, but what I liked is Hannah is like, Dr. Ritchie is putting out data-driven facts that like we are electrifying, you know, the grid with renewable energy. It's the fastest energy transition in the history of the world. It's not even close. That, you know, we have made in just a few years a significant movement as a species towards a more sustainable planet. And that's not to say that we need to like let up or let our foot off the gas or anything like that. It's to say that, you know, we're doing a great job. And I don't know if that's the millennial in me that needed to hear that, because some days I just throw my hands up like, does it even matter? And the fact is it really does matter. And she has like some really great points on, it's all data driven, which is awesome. It's not like, you know, social science style, like, oh, here's some anecdotes of people. But I mean, like in developing countries, you know, less people now, there's more people in the world than ever before, and less people are dying from natural disasters than ever before. And we always talk about how crazy natural disasters are getting, how big or whatever, but our response systems are getting better. Our infrastructure is getting way better to withstand these things. And so there's just, it gave me a ton of hope and I really enjoyed it. And I highly recommend it. It's called Not the End of the World. How about you? What are you reading right now?
I mentioned this on Reviewing the News, but still working through Eric Blem's book, The Darkest White, which is a book about Craig Kelly and the history of snowboarding. It's excellent. It's been a busy end of the season here. And, you know, we're sad that the chairlifts are not spinning in CB, but it does frankly mean I'm probably about to reclaim a bit more reading time now. And, planning to have Eric on the podcast, by the way, to talk about this book. And it's great. I you know, anybody who has paid even some amount of attention to the world of snowboarding, you know, is probably a bit familiar with Craig Kelly. And that's sort of the position I was in. And you read this book and it all becomes quite clear why so many people really, really admired the hell out of Craig and looked up to him so much. And so you get this incredible modern history of snowboarding, also combined with an incredible biography. And it's great, right? And it's done by somebody who really, you know, knows his way around a pen. And so enjoying it a lot. You should definitely check it out.
I will. you know, the other thing we were discussing before is I'm listening to a new podcast called The Full Bleed Podcast by Magazium. So Magazium has two podcasts. They have a Print is Dead, Long Live Print, and it's basically like this like Legends of Print, like any talking heads, and it's a lot of people looking back, and I certainly like that one. But what I really like about Full Bleed is it's all of the new magazines that are coming out, and you know, they have everyone from the new editor of Vanity Fair to my latest one was Caitlin Thompson, who's the editor and co-founder of Racket magazine, which was literally founded to be like, tennis is so much cooler than the public sees it, and it's so much deeper and has a crazier culture than what you see in Wimbledon or in whatnot. And so it's just really cool to see that sometimes I think we're so lost in our own niche communities that tennis has one too, that, you know, food culture has multiple. And so it's just been really cool to find that it seems like across the board, the thing that people have in common is like, it's speaking directly and authentically to a niche culture. And that just was really cool. And then of course, I promise you, I tell you this, I'm watching Bluey.
Oh yeah.
My family has discovered the most popular television show, which I learned recently is responsible for 41% of all viewing hours on Disney Plus. Now, mind you, that's where Star Wars lives. That's where Marvel lives. That's where Mickey Mouse lives, for Christ's sakes. And Bluey is created by this dad in Australia through essentially what PBS or BBC is for Australia. It's called the ABC. And he wanted to do a cartoon. And what I love is that my five-year-old is doing an Australian accent. I saw Jossie Wells, who's obviously an Australian. He's a Kiwi. He's from New Zealand. And he's going to have dinner with my family in a couple weeks. And I was like, dude, I just have to tell you, my kids are going to love talking to you because you talk like Bluey. And you sound like Bluey's dad. And he's like, yeah, Isaac, I'm ready. So that's good. I've known Jossie for 20 years, probably the most one of the stylish skiers of all time. And I mean,
yeah,
he's going to come to my house and do Bluey jokes for my kids, which is awesome. But I think what's great about that show in particular, and like it's a classic like Pixar strategy of like make something that like goes over the kids' heads. Kids laugh at the silly jokes and the parents laugh at the other jokes. The parents disagree sometimes in front of the kids. It's weird. It's like a very like, I don't want to say like it's a cartoon, but it feels true to life, I guess I would say. And like the little idiosyncrasies of like being a parent. And I like admittedly hate most of the children's programming that my kids have. Sesame Street's fine, but it gets a little, it's repetitive on purpose. And you're like, dude, I don't care what the fucking letter of the day is today. I just want to turn this shit off and send you to school. I'm not that much of a curmudgeon, but you know, Bluey's sweet, but we're digging Bluey, and Bluey's sweet. We're really enjoying it. And again, I think what's cool is Bluey is a $2 billion brand right now. It's a great Bloomberg business piece on it. It's huge. And they're not going to sell it to Disney yet because they like, you go to Disney, it's the most streamed thing. There's not a Bluey toy to be found anywhere. And they're kind of like, you know, they're all about commercializing, I guess, like appropriately. And like, it's pretty awesome. They have learned to read books. Like the dad is like a really level-headed guy. And you can tell it's not about money for him. It's about making something he thinks is really, really good. So yeah. Watched a lot of Bluey. Really curveball there, Blister readers.
Well, one of my favorite TV and film critics loves Bluey and has raved about it. And he also has kids. And so he like, that's what got him into that world. And so I don't know if I'm allowed, like, I don't have kids. I don't know if I'm allowed to like turn it on or you know, man.
College kids are watching this thing. Like, I mean, kids are like getting stoned and watching it. Like it's become like this cultural phenomenon. And it's not to say that like, I mean, look, like I'm not anti TV or anything like that, but like, I can tell you there's very few things that are universal about parenting. And one is that the more screen time your kid has, the worse your kid is. I mean, these things are made to give you dopamine hits. And so, like, we live in Tahoe. It's sunny 300 plus days a year. So, like, we try to spend more time outside. I'm not anti-TV, yeah. But, you know, we were traveling this last week. And on the plane, my son was watching Bluey. And he'd get off. And he's like, Dad, we need salad with our barbecue. And I'm like, this is amazing. You just nailed that Australian accent right away. And, yeah. And then his little brother does whatever he does. And he's learning how to talk. And I'm worried that he's going to learn how to talk with an Australian accent. And I'll have to explain that to everybody. But
to everybody. I got to do this real quick. I mentioned on our last Reviewing the News with Cody that I had watched the sequel of Roadhouse.
Oh.
I'd never watched the original.
Oh.
And since I recorded with Cody, and I then decided I needed to go back and watch the original. And here is my review of the original Roadhouse. It's terrible.
Oh my God. I'm done with this podcast. You are spitting on the grave of the great late Patrick Swayze. And you're telling me
it is not a good movie.
Rips a man's heart out on the beach and he swore he'd never do it again.
No, he rips a man's esophagus out.
Yeah. Sorry.
It's not a good movie. It's a terrible script. Nothing is good about it, honestly.
He's great.
And Sam Elliott, that is the one great thing about it. But even Sam Elliott is like not fully Sam Elliott-ing in the film. And so, like, I have to say, I thought the sequel was quite bad. The sequel is better than the original, I think. No. The original is unwatchable and just makes me think, like, what were we doing?
If you listen to this podcast in the beginning, you're probably hating me on my Eclipse take. What's nice is I somehow won the pod because now you hate Jonathan for his terrible Roadhouse. And also, here's a little inside baseball for everyone. So when Jonathan and I record these and we need to make edits, we snap like that, right? And we make edits. So what I'd like to do is if whoever's editing this, if you could go get a Roadhouse punch scene and make it sound like I'm punching Jonathan right now. Thank you. I hope that happened. I hope that happened. If not, and you're listening, go back 15 seconds and just record it and go. So it sounds like the punches are great.
Look, it's a terrible movie. And for anybody who's like, oh my God, things are so bad these days, go watch some movies from like the 80s and early 90s. Now, there are some amazing, amazing films back then, but there's a lot of garbage. And like, there's a lot of garbage. And Roadhouse, I'm sorry, it's not good. It's just not good.
I'm just gonna end with this one thing. So one of the cool things that's happening with Mountain Gazette is that I'm starting to get asked a lot of questions about running a business as if I have any idea how to do that. I know how to run my business and like help you with your business because they're kind of similar, but like I don't know how to open a coffee shop or to get permits or anything like that. So one of the pieces of advice I've started giving to people is, oh, you want to start a business? Watch the Tom Cruise movie Cocktail. And I actually think it's a great business.
This is the advice you
I'm giving that to people is like, yeah, wow. Oh, you want to start something like, cool, watch Cocktail. And I kind of find that the people that are going to like at least open a business, they watch it. And also like I have based none of my business decisions off of the movie Cocktail.
Off of the movie.
But I just needed something okay. quick to say to people.
Something. Okay.
You know, because wow. I felt like I was like, if I gave them advice, like, oh, you should go take out a huge bank loan and it doesn't work out, then they hate me forever. Yeah, but if you go watch Cocktail and it sucks, you're just like, dude, that guy likes really bad movies. And that's okay. I'm okay with that. But I think.
Or if they come back to you, you can be like, well, you know, there's negative lessons I wanted you to learn. And or if they're like, that was fantastic and it brought a lot of clarity to my business plan, you could be like, that's fantastic. So you really can't go wrong, actually. It's kind of genius.
Typically at the end of these podcasts, I ask whoever's still listening to send us messages on Instagram or whatever. Please send us messages to help@mountaingazette.com about what you personally took away from the film Cocktail, either personally or professionally. I'd love to know because I watched it recently and I was like, wow, this is a good what not to do. But yeah, it's a good, we should just end on that. I mean, Roadhouse and Cocktail,
We've come full circle. Got to meet my touring partner in 8 minutes. So we will wrap. We were going to say something about we're bringing Blister Cinematic back soon, but I think we'll just leave it at that.
It's back, baby.
Stay tuned for that, people. We're going to have Rogi come on and join us, I think, for this next cinematic episode. Other than that, where should people go to find issue 201 of Mountain Gazette?
So April 29th is the deadline to subscribe. If you are listening to this after that, you can go to mountaingazette.com/subscribe, add the current issue when you subscribe. We'll get that out to you, and then you'll get two more issues in your subscription. You'll get the fall issue and the spring issue next year. We are shipping those out in 2 weeks. And the United States Postal Service will decide when you receive them. We like to say our job is done when we give it to the government. So, but no, they've done a great job of delivering things. They've kind of cured everything since the pandemic, I think, for the most part. But the magazine's out. We're super proud of it. And we're going to start working on the fall issue next month.
Well, good luck wrapping everything up. And fun as always to talk, and I will send you a picture from the top of my line.
Okay, well, I already skied today, so you're just catching up to me, just to be fair.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, talk to you later.
Well, that's it for this edition of the Blister Podcast. I want to say thanks, as always, to Mike Rogi for the conversation. Thanks to Taylor Ahern for producing this episode, and thanks to you for listening. And just a reminder, before y'all go out on skis again for the next time, or your first mountain bike ride of the season, or your first trail run, or rafting session, or kayaking mission, well, get yourself covered with Blister Plus. At least please go check it out. See if that coverage would make sense for your particular situation. We just want you to be safe, and we want to take care of you. All right, everybody, thanks for listening, and we will talk to you again real soon.